It is 9:08 on April 17, 2014. With us were Representative Chenault, Representative Reinbold, Representative Josephson, Representative Sadler, and myself, Chair Olson. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off your cell phones. Two items on the calendar today, Senate Bill 214 and Senate Bill 193. We got anybody from, yes, we do. Senator Dunleavy's office. Looks like Steve Ritchie.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Steve Ritchie. I'm staff to Senator Dunleavy in the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Senate Bill 214 essentially is a Part B of Senate Bill 52, which you saw last year. That was sponsored by Senator Coghill, which deals with portable electronic insurance. And this is the adjusting aspect of that. I can highlight some of the major issues with the bill or what we hope to accomplish with it, or I can just go ahead and take questions if you'd like.
Yeah, highlight it.
Okay. What Senate Bill 214 does is regulate adjusting. Essentially, if someone sends in their portable electronic device and they're hoping to make an insurance claim, typically the device is either broken and will be replaced or not. There's not really a judgment call as to whether or not what the value of the damage is. Therefore, these individuals that are dealing with these claims are largely performing clerical functions and not ultimately in the business of adjusting. So this bill allows 25 basically members doing clerical work under one registered adjuster with the state. And there's also provisions in the bill that deal with non-resident licensure of these adjusters. Due to the nature of the business, this is largely telephone, internet, mail-based. This is we're dealing with larger nationwide companies for the most part. So it's largely technical and cleanup to allow these individuals to be licensed in the state while holding out-of-state licensing. And the Division of Insurance could speak to those technical aspects of that if there are questions. But that's really the extent of the bill. We have Paul Fassenbender, who is from Assurian, one of the companies that is involved in portable electronics insurance, and Stephen McDaniel, who is from Meenan Law Firm. He's retained counsel for Assurian. And then, of course, the Division of Insurance is here to answer any questions as well. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Yeah, we've got 1-0 fiscal note. Is that correct?
Yes.
We just have one?
Yep.
Representative Josephson, you good for a question?
None.
Got off light, Steve.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time during this busy time. Appreciate it.
Let's pull up that public testimony. Anybody in the room? Oh, the Division of Insurance. Are you questions only, or do you have any statements? Much may Marty come up. Come on up, Marty.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Marty Hester, Deputy Director, Division of Insurance. Any questions, Mr. Chairman?
First one, does the division support this bill?
Chairman, the division believes that this bill still provides the consumer protections that Alaskans will need while allowing it easier for the industry to be able to adjust these claims. And we have reached out to the other states that have enacted this legislation, and none of those states have had any issues with the portable electronic adjuster legislation that they've enacted.
Anybody else have any questions for Marty? Thanks again, Marty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we've got a couple people in the industry. Questions only. Steve McDaniel.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Steve McDaniel with Meenan PA, law firm in Tallahassee, Florida, outside counsel for Assurian, here to be available to answer any technical questions that may come up.
I guess the only one I would have is, have you had much in the way of problems with this type coverage. Looks relatively simple to me.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it is relatively simple, which is why I think the division is comfortable with the 25-to-1 ratio. By and large, as Steve mentioned, the phones either work or they don't, so it's not like a homeowner's claim where you're adjusting value and you're making repairs to a home or to an automobile. So typically phones are shipped out and received in within 2 days, usually 1 day. So it's a very simple claim.
Any further questions? Thanks again for joining us. We also have another person, Paul Fassbender from Turin, but his questions only as well. But I think nobody has any questions. We won't bother him. Do we have anybody else online? Nobody in the room? Close out public testimony. Bring it back to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 214, version P.A, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no opposition, the bill will move out of committee. We'll take a brief adjournment. We're back on the record. It's 9:17. Next item on the calendar today is Senate Bill 193, Contractors, Bonds, and Licensing. To present the bill is Senator Peter Michicki, who has two constituents in the room at least, and Mindy Rowland from the staff. Welcome.
Thank you, Representative. Very much appreciate the opportunity to be here. 193 is essentially about updating the level of protection associated with surety bonds. You all know what surety bonds are for, but we haven't updated the amounts or the levels of protection since 1982. Current bond rates are $10,000 for general contractors, $5,000 for specialty. But think about, you know, a bathroom remodel can be over $5,000. So what this bill does, Mr. Chairman, is it increases the rate for general contractors to $25,000, a new residential-only endorsement for $20,000. Mechanical and specialty contractor bonds will increase to $10,000, and it brings down the cost to a handyman that is a registered or that is a contractor by definition to $5,000. I will keep my comments brief and wait for any questions, but there's not a fiscal note associated with the bill. Essentially, it just this is a key piece of legislation for many of the reputable contractors in the state, and I'm ready for any questions.
Got the first one, Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, there is a fiscal note associated with this. It's an indeterminate fiscal note. So the department doesn't know what it may cost or what revenue it may bring in because they don't know how many potential handymen there are, so we don't know. I would assume the cost will probably be on the negative side versus on the positive side versus the negative side. Or did they give me a new one here that I see as zero now? No, that's from admin. Mr. Chairman, they've changed the fiscal note, and I haven't seen why yet, but I'll look at it and see.
Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
The bond requirement relative to handymen, currently that they're exempted?
They're exempt if they don't do jobs that are above $2,500. So we're not changing the definition of a contractor.
Okay.
We're simply bringing the handyman in for folks that are above that level. If they're a contractor, they're a contractor. If they're not, they're not. If they fit into the definition and they go above that level of $2,500 on in their work, then they fall into it. But that doesn't change the only cost that changes associated with this bill is the cost of the bond, which for a $5,000 bond is between $125 and $250 a year. The most expensive part of being a contractor, if you're already a contractor, is the insurance.
Okay. So just to be, so if a handyman does charges a homeowner $2,400, they remain exempted?
we can take any piece of legislation to the extreme. If most of their work or the vast majority of their work is below that level, they may not be a contractor. If they're above it, they are. Previously, if you just advertised, you were a contractor. So, again, the impacts. If you're a contractor, this bill doesn't change that. But if you're a handyman contractor, what this does is drops where you may have been under the 10,000 before the next higher level. It allows a handyman category, so actually saves the handyman approximately $250 a year if they are already a contractor.
Okay. I'm wondering if I could, Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering where if someone could stack. We had the term stack a couple days ago relative to car insurance. Could a handyman do a project, finish the project, come back, and then still enjoy some exemption? Or is there any description?
Let me put it this way, and I've had this question from a couple of people that have hired folks that aren't licensed, bonded, and insured. You still have the option to hire folks that are possibly not operating legally. Mm-hmm. You still have that option. If people want to play the system, people are going to continue to play the system. But if they're typically doing work that is above that level, they are a contractor, and this requires a bond. My suggestion for Alaskans that are having people doing work on their home mm-hmm. is to enjoy all the benefits of things like insurance and bonding and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. It's a relatively low cost, and for reputable contractors, it's a cost they don't even consider. It's the price of doing business, and it's a way to protect consumers and homeowners against things that can go wrong on the job.
If I could add, not surprisingly, it's typically the contractors that are licensed and insured that will turn in the ones that aren't and that are doing work that would qualify them to have to carry insurance and bonding. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of self-policing, and it's, again, because they can consistently low bid if they don't have any overhead. Mm-hmm. But the system seems to have a way of working itself out. Any other questions for Peter? Representative Herron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, just for the record, could you share for the record why a public adjuster would not be needed under this proposed legislation?
A public adjuster, could you define a public adjuster, please?
Usually independent adjusters work for the insurance company. A public adjuster works for, can work for you and represents you against the insurance company in a claim.
Let's take an at ease, Mr. Chairman, if you don't, if that's possible. I have a question for the folks behind me that could help me out a little bit here.
Patties. Back on the record, I forgot where we are. Talking about
public
adjusters.
Oh, okay. Could you re-ask the question through the chair? Could you re-ask the question, Representative Herron?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, just for the record, could you share why a public adjuster would not be needed under this proposed legislation?
Yes, Representative Herron, through the chair. This is a license bond and not a bid and performance bond. We're not changing the bond system. We still would choose to use whatever adjuster they would use under the system. That's really not a part of this bill. All we're doing is updating the levels of protection.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, if you're in a dispute with an insurance company, it's been my experience and friends of mine's experience is sometimes an independent adjuster is not your best advocate. You should also consider public adjusters. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Because an independent adjuster could work both for the public and the insurance industry.
Yes.
Not bad advice.
Thank you.
You have to have a big claim for that, though.
I did.
I knew there had to be a story there, but unfortunately, we don't have enough time this morning for it. Thank you. I think you're done walking us through the bill, aren't you?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Him? We have the Division of Insurance online for questions only, and we've got Michaela Fowler here as well for questions only. Any questions for the administration?
Yes, just one. I guess the division would be fine. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At one point in time through the chair, bonds would be held by the department for up to 3 years, even after cessation of the practice or the business. Is that still the case?
For the record, my name is Lori Wing-Heyer, and I'm the director of the Division of Insurance. I think that I'm not sure I can give you the exact answer you're looking at, but I think it's important that we have a distinction between a licensing bond, which is just truly allowing the contractor to perform, to bid work and perform, and what his client might ask for, which I believe is what you're asking about, is a bid and performance bond, saying that the contractor has the wherewithal to order the materials, make payroll, and basically complete the project. They bid those on an individual basis based on the value of the project. That bond or this legislation is not addressing bid and performance bonds.
Okay.
And I believe that what you're asking is, don't they hold the bid and performance bond for a period of time after the job is completed to make sure that warranty items, punch list items, and things like that are completed? I believe you're correct, sir, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
That it's, the period's 3 years.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We also have Al Nagel from the Department of Labor online, Ed Sniffen, Deputy AG, Consumer Issues out of Anchorage, online for questions as well, and Ed McKinnon, the Executive Director of the Alaska General Contractors, is online for question only. Oh, I'm sorry, has a statement. Are you with us, John?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and you've got our undivided attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Calling in from sunny Fairbanks, and for the record, my name is John McKinnon. I'm the Executive Director of the Associate General Contractors of Alaska, a construction trade association representing over 650 Alaska businesses in the construction industry. Speaking in support of SB 193, we started working on this issue a few years ago and began by engaging other construction trade associations, the Electrical Contractors Association, the Mechanical Contractors Association, Associated Builders and Contractors, State and Local Home Builders Associations. And we worked together to agree on bond limits and costs that were reasonable and affordable. Some associations wanted the limits much higher than the ones that are in this bill, but what we agreed on the end very closely approximates what the original 1982 levels would be if you had adjusted them for inflation. You know, SB 193 is about increasing the license bond amounts for contractors. It's not about limiting competition. It's about making competition fair. And most important, it's a very critical piece of Alaska consumer protection laws in the construction industry. When a contractor does work for a client or when a contractor purchases materials to put into a project, the best way to recover for the person that's aggrieved on this is to go after the license bond. The other alternative for recovery is to lien the property. And when a vendor has to lien property, it often involves an innocent property owner, the homeowner, or the property owner, and the license bond is the best way because it's going after the person who's not paying the bills. I've been amazed since we've started working on this. I've really been amazed at the number of vendors, equipment rental companies, material suppliers that have called in expressing strong support for this because they feel this is an important part of their ability to extend credit to people in the construction industry and other industries. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for John? Thanks again, John, for taking the time to call in. Are you coming down before the end of the week?
I hope to be down there Sunday night, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we should be done by Sunday night, Monday, somewhere along there. We'll see you Sunday, John.
We'll see you.
I'd like to clarify for the record that we have distributed the zero fiscal notes for labor, note for labor. This joins DECED, zero fiscal note. Representative Chenault.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to point out a couple of things on those zero fiscal notes. On the one from Administrative Services, if you look at the back, it says the division does not anticipate any fiscal impact from this legislation. It will likely increase the number of licensees, but any additional work will be absorbed by existing staff. The other one from the Administration Office of the Commissioner says the department does not anticipate a significant fiscal impact as a result of the changes associated with the proposed legislation. While I support the legislation, I just want it on record that while we have 2-0 impact fiscal notes, there will be costs associated with it, and it would not surprise me at some future point in time that either department comes back and asks for more money, not necessarily for this, but just to maintain their ongoing work needed to put in yet another program.
There's another possibility. That could be they're overstaffed.
I would not say that, Mr. Chairman, at this time, but I just don't know what the impacts of the bill will be while I support the bill.
Is there anybody else online that would care to testify? Is there anybody in the room that I, well, no, I recognize everybody in the room. Nobody wants to take a shot at the bill? We'll close out the testimony at 9:33 and bring it back to the committee. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I... Oh, go ahead.
Yes.
There's four of us.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I don't think you can move the bill right now. You have three members present.
Four.
Oh, four.
You forgot.
You got four.
Oh.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 193 version N from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no further opposition, I'll move this bill out of committee. We're adjourned at 9:35.